Hello, hello. This is Courtney, and this is a message that this podcast will actually be moving to wonderinenglish.com. Wonder, WONDERINEN, English.com. The podcast name will also be changed to Wonder in English. WUG English will no longer be an active website, podcast, or YouTube channel. Everything is moving over to the new name, wonderinenglish.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the Wonder in English podcast, and I'll see you guys there. Hello, and welcome to WUG English. The WUG English community provides free online English lessons for students with an intermediate to advanced level of English. For the full version of this lesson, don't forget to check out WUGEnglish.com, WUGEnglish.com. Hello, this is Courtney back from WUG English. And today's topic, we're going to be talking about immortality. Okay, so I'm going to read off a list of words, and I would love it if you guys would listen out for these words as I'm speaking my monologue and try to understand them in the context. See if you can guess what they mean. And then at the very end, I'm going to go over what they mean, and hopefully you were right. So the first word is redundant. The second is rejuvenate. Then android. Feasible. Realm, finite, offspring, powder, sore, slopes, ruminate, a double-edged sword, lose touch with. Okay, great. So those are all of the words. Continue to listen out for them, and don't forget that there's actually much more vocabulary words on the written lesson online at wugenglish.com. WUGEnglish.com. And today's topic, we're going to be talking about immortality. And this is sort of going off of our previous topic of artificial intelligence in that futuristic realm. And I just wanted to discuss with you an article that I recently read. It's just pretty crazy to think that we could live forever. My first question would be, would you want to be immortal if you had the chance? And futurists, which is what we call people who are planning and are knowledgeable about the future, speculate that we will find the fountain of youth by 2050. So that's coming up very quickly. And there are a couple of ways that this could take place. First, there could be enough development in genetic engineering that we're able to prevent or even reverse cell deterioration. So basically, we could reinvent how cells operate and use that in order to create younger versions of ourselves. Or we can use more technology along the lines of the 3D printer, and we could actually use living cells to print out and completely reconstruct organs. And that would make human organ donors redundant, which is a good thing. But on the other side, what would be the side effects of a printed out organ? I'm really curious. Also, instead of just rejuvenating our physical bodies, we could result to using android bodies. So this is similar to what I was talking about last week. Instead of being humans, why not just plug our consciousness into a walking computer, a walking, talking, human-like computer, then we could avoid injury and we could avoid issues with using a physical human body, and we wouldn't have to die even if our body did die. So, this could make things really interesting because we could even rent android bodies anywhere in the world, making traveling feasible for everyone. So, we could rent a body in Egypt and see Cairo, or we could rent a body in Tokyo and walk around and see all the lights, and you would never have to transport anything anywhere. You could just plug your consciousness into a different country's Android. But in this case, it brings up other issues, like how can we prevent people from crossing borders? and you probably wouldn't. So this might change the whole concept of countries and the way our world is currently divided. And to be honest, as somebody who's traveled the world a lot, I wouldn't mind there being no borders or no physical boundaries. I think that it would be a much better place if we could all share our resources. So the futurist Dr. Pearson estimates that this Android technology will actually be available by 2050. So that means scientists have to figure out how to download human consciousness to the cloud in the next 31 years. This is actually one of the biggest growing fields of science currently, is the science of consciousness. Where does it arise from or originate from, and how can we essentially capture it and then put it in a different place, like downloading it to the cloud? So Android bodies could create a whole new realm of overpopulation issues. This makes me ask myself if Earth's resources will still be finite by 2050, and if so, does that mean we're going to have limited space and resources to maintain 10 androids per person that currently exists? So if one person has the capability of hiring or even buying or manufacturing 10 other androids, so then we're going to have our current population times 10. Obviously, not everyone will be able to make it to the Fountain of Youth by 2050. However, I'm sure that new children will be born and it will sort of be the same population that we have now. So imagine that times 10. I can't imagine where all the humans will go. But at that point, if we're all androids, then can we possibly live on other planets? Maybe we don't need oxygen anymore and we can go to a different planet. Maybe we don't necessarily need gravity. And it just completely changes the realm of what's possible. I also wonder if people will stop producing their own offspring. I mean, if they're going to be interacting with each other as androids, I feel like that would greatly reduce the possibility of having your own child. And then if you are operating as an android and you have your own child, are you going to take care of the child as a robot, as an android? It seems like a strange thing to do. And then, if a kid wanted to be an android, would they have to grow up first and then their consciousness can be downloaded to the cloud? Or can their consciousness grow within the cloud? That's something that's a very curious question. And I also wonder if it will become a healthcare right to have an android. Like, will everyone have the right to an android? So in other words, will insurance companies morph into businesses that just supply people with android bodies? Or what if it's only the rich that become androids? And is that a problem? So there's so many questions that arise when we consider androids as a possibility of a body replacement in the near future. But androids aren't the only type of technology we might be using. We can actually simplify matters a bit and rely solely on virtual reality. Or maybe it's just wishful thinking that we can simplify things. Maybe any solution that we choose to live forever will make matters a bit complicated. So virtual reality is currently being used in nursing homes for the well-being of their patients. The elderly are given the goggles, the VR goggles, and they're completely transported into a world where they feel like they're snowboarding again or something like that. And they've done studies where they show that they begin to move their hips in a way they haven't been able to in years because their mind or their brain actually feels like they're snowboarding. Their visual field makes them feel like they're really flying over that soft powder. And it's not surprising that this is being used to treat depression as well and elevate the moods of their patients. I mean, how would you feel if you were soaring like an eagle or hiking Mount Everest or skiing down the slopes in Telluride at age 90? You'd probably feel more alive than you have in years. So this is currently how virtual reality is being used, and it's an incredible phenomenon. It's really helping people. So could you imagine if we amped that up? That's currently being used right now. Imagine that in 2050. With how fast technology is advancing, I wouldn't be surprised if we could create our own complete worlds without ever leaving the house, a virtual reality world. But let's ruminate on that idea, because this might end up being a double-edged sword. We could easily lose touch with what it means to be human and to enjoy the world we've actually been given, because we would start living in a more comfortable world through a computer screen. And aren't we kind of already doing that? So clearly, all of these solutions to living forever create a lot more problems when we begin to think about them. However, maybe it's worth it. Would you guys want to live forever? It seems that the cutoff year is about 2050 or 2060. Are you going to live that long? And what if you live that long and you could live forever, but people that you loved couldn't live that long and couldn't live forever? So let's say your sister or brother or your mother or your father passes away, would you still want to live forever without them? These are really big questions, and I really wonder how we'll answer them in the future. But it's just to think about it together. So thank you so much for tuning in, and keep listening for a description of those vocabulary words that I mentioned at the very beginning of this podcast. Okay, great. Thanks for listening to that monologue. So now I'm going to go over what those words mean that I mentioned at the very beginning of the podcast. So the first word was redundant. This means that it's no longer needed or useful, that it's superfluous. So if someone becomes redundant at your workplace, that means that they're let go or they're fired. In this case, I was talking about organ donors. They will become redundant because we could grow organs ourselves in a petri dish, or we could even print them in a 3D printer. The next word is rejuvenate. So this is when you make someone or something look or feel younger, fresher, and more lively. So you're basically giving it a more youthful touch and glow. So we like to say that we go to the spa to rejuvenate. You can specify, I want to rejuvenate my skin, or you can just say rejuvenate in general and then end it there. Another word is android, and an android is a robot or artificial being that's made to resemble or to look like a human being, and they're often given flesh-like material so that it actually looks like they have skin. The next word is feasible. When something is feasible, it means it's possible to do pretty easily and conveniently. So it's pretty feasible for me to run to the grocery store now and grab some food. Like, that's no problem, my schedule's free. Another word is realm. So realm has two meanings. The first you can find in sci-fi movies and in fairy tales where they're talking about kingdoms, because realm and kingdom are synonyms. However, it also means something else. It can mean a field or domain of activity or interest. So it's a really general word to describe a field, basically. So in the realm of photography, people like to use filters, things like that. So the realm of photography, or the field or domain of photography. So it's used to describe a general domain or activity. The next word is finite. Finite simply means that it's limited or has some sort of boundary. So finite resources, these are non-renewable resources that won't just grow back within our lifetime. Offspring, that's a person or an animal's child or children. We usually talk about offspring when we're talking about animals, but it does also refer to people's children. Powder. Okay, so powder, you guys likely already know what that is, but in this specific case, powder is referring to freshly fallen snow. So we always use that to describe fresh snow. It's soft and it's loose, just like powder. And it's the best snow to ski on. To soar, this means to fly or rise high in the air. And this word really gives us a sense of freedom and of being majestic. It's not just like fly, it's soar like an eagle or like a plane. It has this majestic and regal quality to it. Slopes, that's where you ski, so we call them ski slopes, or you can just say slopes for short. Ruminate, this means to think deeply about something. A double-edged sword. This is an idiom that is very common, so if you don't know this one, then I would definitely recommend writing it down or trying to use it today specifically. But it means a situation or action that has both positive and negative side effects. So eating a cake is amazing. It tastes super delicious, That's the positive side effect, but the negative side effect is that you gain weight. So eating cake is sort of a double-edged sword. And the last one, to lose touch with, this is a phrasal verb, and it has two meanings. The first is when you cease to correspond with someone or communicate with someone. So in that scenario, you say you lost touch with someone, like with the person. But you can also lose touch with a noun, like with reality. So it can mean that you're no longer aware or informed of something. That's the second meaning. So you can lose touch with reality and live in a different world in your mind. Okay, so those were all the vocabulary words that I'm going to mention today. But don't forget that there's a lot more over on wugenglish.com, wugenglish.com. And I'll see you back here next week for another podcast. Also, I just started a YouTube channel, Wug English as well. Just search for that on YouTube. And I'll be posting new lessons there that cover more of grammar and specific issues where it might be helpful to have a visual. Those will be out every single week. So go ahead and subscribe to Wug English on my YouTube channel. And also don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. So I'll see you guys next week. Bye!